Our scripture passage this morning, brothers and sisters, we find in the last book of the Bible, the revelation of Jesus Christ to John at Patmos, chapter 6. While our text we find in Zechariah 6, verse 1 through 8. But first, Revelation 6, the entire chapter, is our scripture passage. This is the word of God. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out. And it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him, and power was given to them over a fourth of the earth, to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. When I opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" That's our scripture passage. We now turn to Zechariah chapter 6, page 1467. Zechariah 6, verse 1 through 8 is the text for the sermon of this morning. Then I turned and raised my eyes and looked, and behold, 4 chariots were coming from between 2 mountains, and the mountains were mountains of bronze, With the first chariot were red horses. With the second chariot, black horses. With the third chariot, white horses. And with the fourth chariot, dappled horses, strong steeds. Then I answered and said to the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my Lord?" And the angel answered and said to me, "These are four spirits of heaven who go out from their station before the Lord of all the earth. The one with the black horses is going to the north country. The white are going after them, and the dappled are going toward the south country." Then the strong steeds went out, eager to go, that they might walk to and fro throughout the earth. And he said, "Go, walk to and fro throughout the earth." So they walked to and fro throughout the earth. And he called to me and spoke to me, saying, "See, those who go toward the north country have given rest to my spirit in the north country." That's our text. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, our text, brothers and sisters, reveals to us the last of a series of eight visions which Zechariah received in one night. They had been awesome, overwhelming, yet encouraging. They answered the questions of the Lord's people. What about the restoration of the temple? The service of the high priest, the priest, what will it be? All the answers together tell them, it's the Lord who will do it. For from him and through him and to him are all things. The Lord builds Jerusalem, and his people will dwell there according to his plan to share in his favor. Yes, that's the encouraging message for us too. For the prophetic perspective of the immediate fulfillment guarantees the fulfillment in the end of days as well. That's why this eighth vision is so significant. For us too. It's the climax, showing us that God has the last say in this series of visions. Zechariah must proclaim his word on the day following the night of the visions, and so do we proclaim this word today. This last vision, beloved, shows us four chariots pulled by horses of different colors. These are four spirits of heaven, we hear, going out from standing in the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. Their presentation takes place where the Lord finds himself at this time. That is, the angel of the Lord, who was so closely identified with the Lord of the whole earth. His word is the Lord's word. His command is the Lord's command. When he spoke, "Go throughout the earth," they went. He only can call to Zechariah, "Look, those going toward the north country have given my spirit rest in the land of the north." Indeed, beloved, it's the angel of the Lord who reveals to Zechariah what is about to happen. It's the angel of the Lord who is the Son of God before his incarnation, who gives us a preview of what is soon to come in the last days. He will bring it about. Not by might, nor by power, but by his Spirit. His Spirit has removed Lady Wickedness. His Spirit will be at rest in the land of the north too. It's the triumph of the Lord of hosts who restores the reign of grace by the angel of the Lord and who brings peace on earth by his Spirit. So I proclaim, Zechariah sees how the Lord God implements his plan of salvation from the Father's house upon the Son's command unto the Spirit's rest. That's how I would like to summarize the message of our text. Zechariah sees how the Lord God implements his plan of salvation from the Father's house, our first point, upon the Son's command, our second point, unto the Spirit's rest, our third point. So the Lord God implements his plan of salvation from the Father's house. Four chariots are coming out from between two mountains, brothers and sisters. Horses of different colors are pulling them. Before the first chariot, he sees red horses stamping impatiently, ready to go, as we see in verse 7. Before the second chariot, there are black horses pounding the ground to tear away from there. The third chariot is pulled by white horses that are eager to go. And before the fourth chariot, dappled gray horses are straining as well to run upon the signal. These chariots and their horses came out from between two mountains. So where would that be? Well, perhaps you remember, beloved, that in the first vision, Zechariah saw the angel of the Lord in the valley of the myrtle trees. When dealing with that vision, we understood this to mean the valley closely located to Mount Zion, near the waters of Siloam. That was near the building site of the house of the Lord. The location of this valley also can be established. As Zechariah is looking toward the east at dawn of day, the sunrise makes the mountains look like bronze. Bronze is the symbol of stability. These mountains are solid, immovable, and untouchable. It's especially Mount Zion, the Temple Mount, that's known that way. It symbolizes as well that the Lord who dwells there is immovable. He is steadfast in his implementation of the plan of salvation. Now, beside Mount Zion, brothers and sisters, there is another immovable mountain, namely Mount Olivet. Between Mount Zion and the Mount of Olives, there is the Valley of Jehoshaphat. The name of this king in Judah means the Lord judges. It's the Valley of the Judgment of God. The prophet Joel also speaks about it that way. Let the nations be roused. Let them advance into the Valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the nations on every side. Joel 3 verse 12. At the end of his book of prophecy, Zechariah himself hints in the direction of this judgment where he says, then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem. Chapter 14, verse 3 and 4. So when these chariots came out from between those two mountains, beloved, it means that they came forth from Mount Zion, from the house of the Lord. Such an image of chariots coming from Zion reminds one immediately of Psalm 68. God shall arise with mighty chariotry untold. It's the image of the Lord's judgment starting from the house of God that we see in our text. That already is a clear indication to Zechariah and his people that the Lord has returned to his people. Especially against the background of Haggai's prophecy, chapter 2, verse 6, in a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations for the sake of my house in Jerusalem. Against that background, this vision is an answer from the Lord to the people's prayer, how long yet, O Lord? Well, my judgment is at hand, the Lord shows. The nations may seem at rest, just wait. My judgment is coming from my house at Zion. That's the meaning of the prophecy of this vision in the first place, beloved. It shows the progress since the first vision. The Lord has come from the valley of the myrtles to the valley of Jehoshaphat. He presents himself as the Lord of all the earth, who has taken up residence in Zion again, the center of the earth. From here, the charity will go forth from the presence of the Lord of the whole earth to the four winds of heaven. Remember that the word for spirits is the same as four winds. Even though the church may seem to have come to naught in the eyes of men, even in the eyes of the Lord's own people, especially compared to the mighty nations of Babylon and Egypt, the Lord presents himself as the Lord of heaven and earth. He will establish his reign in all the earth again. The word of judgment will go out toward the north, the south, the east, and the west, until the Spirit of God resides everywhere. And today, we know the fulfillment of this vision, brothers and sisters. We know of the progress of this judgment over the nations. Today, God's reign of grace and peace has its center in the heavenly Zion, where the Son of God rules over all the earth. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. To him was given all power and authority in heaven and on earth. On our behalf and for us, the Apostle John at Patmos could see how the seven spirits of God were sent out into all the earth. They have established this reign of grace for the Son in the Father's house. That's the perspective of Zechariah's vision. The fulfillment of it was about to begin. The Babylonian power is about to be toppled by the Lord. The supremacy of culture and economics will soon be over when the chariot with the black horses goes there. The wickedness, which was revealed in the previous vision, will eventually be eradicated together with Babylon. And the same applies to Israel's arch enemy in the south, Egypt. The dappled horses are about to leave for the south, bringing upon Egypt another series of plagues of various kinds. This will make an end to the ever-threatening danger from the south. What great comfort this means for Zechariah and his people, beloved. It means that the tensions and troubles that have jeopardized the progress of temple building so far will soon be over. And what encouragement we may derive from this word of God too, for it means that whenever the Lord wants to make progress to establish his kingdom, he will remove powers and kingdoms and nations. Yes, whenever the word of God did move into the world, Nations and kings have tried to oppose it, as was evident in the days of the Roman Empire, of the Great Reformation, or upon other reformations in the following centuries. The Lord opened the way for His Word. It always showed the Lord arise with His chariotry untold, moving up against the nations with weapons of warfare, famine, epidemics, and economic setbacks. So that's the prophetic perspective of our text, beloved. In the first vision, the nations were reported to be at rest, and the situation in Jerusalem to be in shambles. Here, the eighth vision shows us the kingship of the Lord firmly established in Zion. Now the nations will soon be in disarray and in unrest. In their arrogance, the nations thought that they had established peace, lasting peace. But as soon as the Lord will arise, as soon as the Lord awakens from His holy dwelling, He has His chariotry ready to move against the nations. The horses are waiting impatiently for the war signal, straining to go throughout the earth. In Zechariah's days, as well as in our days, the angel of the Lord gives this signal, the Lamb, who has the power and authority to implement the plan of salvation. Which brings us to our second point. The Lord implements His plan of salvation upon the Son's command. Now, in the understanding of a prophetic perspective, brothers and sisters, there always is the difficulty of distinguishing between the immediate fulfillment and the distant implementation. All Zechariah needed to know was the impending progress of God's plan. He saw the chariots go out to the north and to the south, while the white horses, we read, that they are going west, as the NIV translates, or the Frisian, the Dutch, the French, and German translations have it, to the west. That we don't read about the red horses yet might be because the world was still at peace. In the chapters following our text, we can read about this fulfillment concretely. For us, however, this vision gains meaning and depth when we see its prophetic perspective in the further revelation of its features. For Zechariah, the meaning of the colors of the horses, of the directions, and of the reasons for the delay may not have been of urgent importance. For us, such details take on deeper meaning. When the powerful horses went out, they were straining to go throughout the earth. We read in verse 7. Why were they so eager, straining to go out? They had to wait. Why? Why could the white horses not go to the west yet? Why did they have to wait for the command allowing them to gallop away? Brothers and sisters, it's in the meaning of the colors that we have to find our clue. What does the white stand for? Why do the white horses go to the west? The vision's prophetic perspective provides the answers, as we learned from the revelation to the Apostle John at Patmos. First in chapter 6 and later on in chapter 19, we find the white horses back again. In chapter 6, the rider of the white horse has a bow. And a crown was given him. He went out conquering and to conquer. In chapter 19, we see the white horse again, whose rider is called faithful and true. With justice, he judges and makes war. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Revelation 19, verse 11 to 15. In Zechariah's days, beloved, some of these white horses are impatiently waiting to be released upon the command of the angel of the Lord. In Revelation 6, we see that another one of these white horses takes off immediately. As soon as the Lamb was found worthy to open the seals of God's plan in world history. It is in that perspective that we see in Zechariah's days already the word of the Lord going out to the west. The first chariots of the Lord pulled by white horses are going to make inroads in Asia Minor, in Greece, and in Rome. That's where some of the people of the Lord established themselves in colonies in which the word of the Lord would take root. Later on, in the book of Acts, we see the Apostle Paul visit those centers first. And after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, Revelation 5, the horses that were straining to leave again received the command to go out into the world with his word. In Zechariah's days, the white horses are just one set of four, and their task in the West preparatory for the breakthrough of God's judgment from Zion. After the fulfillment of Zion, of the temple, and of the service of reconciliation has its climax in Christ's ascension to the heavenly Zion, the order of the release of the horses is significant. Then the white horses gallop away, conquering and to conquer. He is the victor with the bow of the word of God, beloved, who makes the gospel hit the heart of the people successfully. Struck by the word of God, they become subjects to the victor on the white horse. Thus, the rider on the horse continues his imperialistic invasion into the world. His course determined the history of the Western world first in ever-widening horizons. And today also, therefore, it's the expansion of the kingdom of God even to the ends of the earth, which is pivotal in all history. Just as the chariots in Zechariah's vision, pulled by the black, the red, and the dappled horses, were subservient to the implementation of the Lord's plan from Zion against the hostile powers of Babylon and Egypt, so we see the other horses in Revelation 6 follow on the trail of the white horse. For the implementation of the plan of salvation meets with opposition. As Babylon and Egypt tried constantly to exterminate the Lord's people, yes, the entire service of the Lord, so it happened throughout the history that hostile powers opposed the progress of Christ's work in the world. Then upon his command, the chariots with the red horses went out causing war and bloodshed. Upon the Lamb's command, the black horses went out time and again to cause economic depression, scarcity and poverty. That is the collapse of cultural prosperity. Yes, the Lamb on the throne also mobilized the dappled horses to bring plagues, epidemics, famine, and diseases among the nations resisting the progress of the gospel. Are you seeing God's chariots of judgment going through the whole earth, beloved, leaving their tracks of blood, fire, and smoke? Do you see them following on the trail of the rider on the white horse? Do you hear their presence in the explosions of wars, riots, revolutions, and terrorist attacks? Do you see the global threat of epidemics, of an AIDS disease, the devastation of the earthquakes, the typhoons, the hurricanes, the tsunamis? These are the judgments of the Lord going through the world. He makes the peoples know that they are just men. He breaks their towers of pride and breaks their powers of arrogance, attacking their palaces of wickedness and corruption. These are the chariots of the Holy Spirit released upon the command of the Lamb who is moving the world to the day of judgment and the word of the Spirit to the ends of the earth. Yes, as the Lord reveals in Revelation 19, the course of the white horses will come to completion upon the fall of Babylon the Great. Then the eighth vision will see its fulfillment completely when the Lamb will declare from Zion, "Look, those going toward the north country have given my spirit rest in the land of the north." That's the purpose and goal of history, the climax of the plan of salvation, which is our third point. It's unto the Spirit's rest. It must have sounded in Zechariah's ears as a cry of victory, brothers and sisters. In the previous vision, it had seemed as if wickedness, personified in Lady Wickedness, had established itself in Babylon, there to stay. Now, however, he has seen the battles of the Lord fought against the opponents in the north and south, and the cry of victory indicates that the Spirit of the Lord has overcome the spirit of wickedness and subdued Babylon. Instead of the free reign of the Babylonian wickedness, it's the reign of grace and peace by the Spirit of the Lord that's established itself. The whole earth is the Lord's. The rest of the Spirit, O Babylon the Great, will be established throughout the whole world. This eighth vision is the climax indeed, beloved. The whole world must be renewed, freed from the powers of wickedness. The Lord's plan ends up in a new world, a new mankind living in the rest of the eternal Sabbath. It's not a new world order established by Joe Biden, or by the G7 or the G20, or by the New Age movement. God will come to his rest. No wonder the angel of the Lord utters the cry of victory. My Spirit, which is moving throughout the whole world. My Spirit, which is at work restlessly, renewing my people, opposing my enemies. My Spirit will be given rest. His course is victorious from Babylon and beyond. Babylon will be defeated and fall. Hence the cry preceding the shout of victory, the call to come out of her and have no part in her wickedness. In Zion only there will be escape from her and refuge with the Lord. Remember, brothers and sisters, how in the first vision the patrols reported, We have gone throughout the earth and found the whole world at rest and in peace. That was not the rest of the people of God. It was the silence before the storms of judgment. Here in the eighth vision, we have seen the whole world in uproar, in upsetting unrest and anxiety. The nations were shaken. The judgment of God made the world tremble and shudder. Then the end, however, is rest again. That's not the rest of the arrogant. It's not the peace of the cemetery either. It's the rest of relief. The whole creation, which now groans, is relieved. The whole nation of the Lord, which He gathered from the ends of the earth, which now moans under the attacks of the wicked one, is relieved. The storms of judgment have been stilled. This is the rest, brothers and sisters, which remains. Then the Lord God, the Lord of the whole earth, will establish His kingdom, and He will bless His people with the eternal Sabbath. The cry of victory did sound. The rest is secure. When the battles which are raging today are over, and the riders have brought their horses to a halt, the world of God the Father will be His Zion, where we will reign with His Son, the Commander, and we will share in the rest of the Holy Spirit.